because of transformation. Abhut, generated. Nabaha, the sky. Tasya, its. Matra, subtle form. Gunaha, quality. Shabdaha, sound. Lingam, characteristics. Yat, as its. Drashtra, the seer. Drishyayoho, of what is seen. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. From the darkness of the false ego, the first of the five elements, namely the sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is seen, as the seer is in relationship with the seen. Purport. The five elements, namely sky, air, fire, water, and earth, are all but different qualities of the darkness of false ego. This means that the false ego, in the sum total form of Mahat Tattva, is generated from the marginal potency of the Lord. And due to this false ego of lording it over the material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living being. The living being is practically the dominating factor over the material elements as the enjoyer, even though the background is the Supreme Lord. Factually, save and expect the Lord, no one can be called the enjoyer. But the living entity falsely desires to become the enjoyer. This is the origin of false ego. When the bewildered living being desires this, the shadow elements are generated by the will of the Lord, and the living entities are allowed to run after them as after a phantasmagoria. It is said that first the tanmatra, sound, is created and then the sky. And in this verse, it is confirmed that actually it is so. But sound is the subtle form of the sky, and the distinction is like that between the seer and the seen. The sound is the representation of the actual object. As the sound produced, speaking of the object gives an idea of the description of the object. Therefore, sound is the subtle characteristic of the object. Similarly, sound representation of the Lord in terms of His characteristics is the complete form of the Lord, as was seen by Vasudev and Maharaj Dasharath, the fathers of Lord Krishna and Lord Rama. The sound representation of the Lord is non-different from the Lord Himself, because the Lord and His representation in sound are absolute knowledge. Lord Chaitanya has instructed us that in the holy name of the Lord, as sound representation of the Lord, all the potencies of the Lord are invested. Thus, one can immediately enjoy the association of the Lord by the pure vibration of the sound representation of His holy name, and the concept of the Lord is immediately manifested before the pure devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, is not aloof from the Lord even for a moment. The holy name of the Lord, as recommended in the Shastras, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, may therefore be constantly chanted by the devotee aspiring to be constantly in touch with the Supreme Lord. One who is thus able to associate with the Lord is sure to be delivered from the darkness of the created world, which is a product of false ego. Tamasima Jyotirgamaya. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణ పదాన్ సహగణా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో ద కరెంట్ డిస్కషన్ ఇన్ ది 5th చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ ద 2nd క్యాంటో, దిస్ ఇస్ అ కాన్వర్సేషన్ బిట్వీన్ బ్రహ్మాజీ అండ్ నారదముని, వేర్ నారదముని రిక్వెస్టెడ్ బ్రహ్మాజీ టు స్పీక్ అబౌట్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ద క్వశ్చన్స్ వాస్ యత సృష్టం, హౌ దిస్ యూనివర్సల్ క్రియేషన్ హ్యాపన్స్. సో ఇన్ రెస్పాన్స్ టు దట్ బ్రహ్మాజీ ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ హౌ ద హోల్ క్రియేషన్ హ్యాపన్స్ అండ్ హీఈస్ కరెంట్లీ డిస్కసింగ్ అబౌట్ హౌ ది ఫ్రమ్ ది ఫాల్స్ ఈగో ఇన్ ద మోడ్ ఆఫ్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ తామస అహంకార్ హౌ దీస్ వేరియస్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ అండ్ దేర్ తన్మాత్రస్ భూమిర్ ఆపో అనలో వాయు కమ్ అండ్ దేర్ తన్మాత్రస్ రూప రస స్పర్శ గంధ శబ్ద హౌ దే ఆర్ మేనిఫెస్టింగ్ సీక్వెన్షియలీ ఫ్రమ్ ద సట్లెస్ట్ టు ద గ్రాసెస్ట్ దట్ ఈస్ ద డిస్కషన్ దట్ ఈస్ హ్యాపనింగ్ రైట్ నౌ. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ద ఫస్ట్ వర్స్ విచ్ డిస్క్రైబ్స్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఫ్రమ్ ది తామస అహంకార్ హౌ ఫస్ట్ శబ్ద ఇస్ క్రియేటెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద శబ్ద ఈథర్ అండ్ దెన్ ఇన్ ద సబ్సీక్వెంట్ వర్సెస్ టుమారో వి విల్ సీ దట్ హౌ ఫ్రమ్ ఈథర్ యు నో ద సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ టచ్ ఇస్ క్రియేటెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ టచ్ ఎయిర్ ఇస్ క్రియేటెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎయిర్ దెన్ ఫామ్ దెన్ ఫ్రమ్ ఫామ్ ఫైర్ లైక్ దట్ యు నో దట్ హోల్ క్రియేషన్ విల్ బి డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ and subsequently how these elements combine together to form a fully functional universe will be described later. So today we will just try to discuss, of course it's a very profound purport and many different themes we could take from this particular purport, but we will just take one small portion of Srila Prabhupada's purport today and try to see what we can discuss from that. Srila Prabhupada in his purport writes, the five elements, namely sky, air, fire, water and earth, are all but different qualities of the darkness of false ego. This means that the false ego in the sum total form of Mahatattva is generated from the marginal potency of the Lord, and due to this false ego of lording it over material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living being. The living being is practically the dominating factor over the material elements as the enjoyer, though the background is the Supreme Lord. So later he says, when the bewildered living being desires this, the shadow elements are generated by the will of the Lord, and the living entities are allowed to run after them as after a phantasmagoria. So so once one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples asked Srila Prabhupada, why did the Supreme Lord create this material universe because of which we are suffering? So he wanted to ask this. So he said, Prabhupada, why did the Supreme Lord create this material universe. Before even he asked the next part, Prabhupada said, the Lord did not create, you created. So which means, it was created for you. Because you wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. Right? So the point that Prabhupada writes here is, when the bewildered living being desires this, to be the enjoyer, then the shadow elements are generated by the will of the Lord, and the living entities are allowed to run after them as after a phantasmagoria. So now the question is, when and why the living entity got bewildered? This question naturally arises. So this theme of the living entity getting bewildered is described in this very beautiful verse of 11th canto, Teachings of the Navayogendras to Nimi Maharaj. Very sequentially and beautifully this theme comes out. Famous verse, oftentimes Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse. Bhayam dvitiya abhinivesatasyat ishadapetasya viparyayo asmritihi tan mayayato buddha abhajettam bhaktyaika isham gurudevatatma. So this verse says, what happens first? He says, Ishad Apetasya. The living entity, Ishad Apetasya means, he turns his face away from Krishna. For the jiva who is averse to the Lord, Ishad Apetasya, what happens? Tan Mayayato. Maya Devi catches hold of him. And then, how does she induce him? Viparyayo asmritihi. Two things. Okay. Viparyaya means, asmriti means making him forget what he really is by the avaranatmika shakti. And viparyaya means making him identify with the body through the vikshepatmika shakti or prakshepatmika shakti. And because of this, what happens? Dvitiya abhinivesh. Abhinivesh means absorption. Dvitiya means that which is not the self, which is the body. And because of this dvitiya abhinivesh comes bhayam. Bhayam is the fear of samsara. Okay. So, and this verse does not just say how this whole bondage of the jiva happens, but it also says how one can escape this bondage. So he says, Buddha, the intelligent person, Guru Devatatma, who accepts the Guru as his worshipable Lord and his very self, and by such acceptance, Tam Isham Bhajet, and when he worships the Supreme Lord, Ekaya Bhaktya, unadulterated devotion. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti ruttama. That is ekaya bhaktya. Then he can escape. Buddha abhajettam bhaktyaika isham guru devatatma. That is the means of escaping. How? So the whole thing started with the jiva becoming averse to the Lord. So the ultimate solution is, when the jiva becomes favorably disposed towards the Lord, and that favorable disposition towards the Lord can come only through the agency of the Guru. Right? So, that's what this verse talks about. So, understanding this role of Maya, the second Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the nature of Maya or the role of Maya. Rite artham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyad atmano mayam yata baso yata tamaha. So, the Lord says that how do you understand how the Maya functions? He says, Rite artham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyad atmano mayam. So, Maya has three parts. Pradhan, vidya and avidya. Okay. So what does Pradhan do? Pradhan creates all the elements that are needed for manifesting the subtle body and gross body, or this material universe with all its subtle and gross elements. Okay. And the avidya potency makes the jiva identify with that body. Why? Ishadapetasya. Because he wants to enjoy separately from Krishna. But constitutionally it is not possible. Because mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The jiva is constitutionally a part and parcel of Krishna. So he can only imagine to be separate from Krishna. That imagination is created by the avidya. And that whatever he can imaginarily identify with, that is the gross body and subtle body, that is created by Pradhan. But when the jiva realizes or understands that, no, actually I cannot be happy in this material world, I wish to go back, then the vidya potency acts on him and helps him go back. So all these three are within the realm of Mahamaya only. Pradhan, avidya and vidya. So he says, the avidya potency has two roles. Artham na pratiyeta and anartham pratiyeta. Artham means what? Real. That which is real. Pratiyeta means artham na pratiyeta. The self is jiva, right? We are not this body, we are the soul. So the avidya potency covers that. What is real, one is unable to see. Just like in darkness, real things cannot be seen. And there is fear of false things that may be there. Okay. Like you may see a rope and think that it is snake. But because there is no light, there is no way you can verify it. You can't touch and see, I will verify whether it is rope or snake. You know, it might be a costly examination. Right? So, but when the light comes, final examination, it may become the final examination in this body. So when darkness is there, real objects cannot be seen and there is fear of false objects. So, that is avidya. So, avidya has these two potencies, prakshepatmika shakti and avaranatmika shakti. The avaranatmika shakti covers the real thing. The real thing is the soul. The avaranatmika shakti does not allow the person to identify with the soul. And there is fear of false identification with false things. The body is not real. Anartham pratiyeta. Okay. But when the jiva understands that this world is not a fit place for me to live, I should leave this world, then the vidya potency guides him. How? Artham pratiyeta, anartham na pratiyeta. When you switch on the light, that which is there you see. There is a pot in the room, there is a pillar in the room, everything you can see. And you can clearly see there is no snake. Or a scorpion, whatever it is, right? So, that is the role of vidya potency. So, which means, when a person is ready for liberation, the vidya potency guides him to identify with the soul and not identify with the body. But even this is within the realm of Mahamaya only. Because by this kind of role of vidya, one can only come till the stage of self-realization. Ultimately, by taking up to the practice of bhakti, pure bhakti, only then one can reach the stage of prema and completely reach the stage of self-realization. Okay. So, in this material world, there are three categories of people. Okay. Materialists, sadhakas and perfected devotees. Of course, the second and third categories are very rare. The third category is extremely rare. Okay. So, for the materialists, so the role of Maya is life, orchestrating life situations for the jivas. Okay. So whether it is Yoga Maya or Mahamaya. Yoga Maya acts on perfected devotees. Mahamaya acts in the material world. Okay. So, for the materialists, ordinary materialists of this material world, the life situations are orchestrated by Mahamaya. But on the basis of one's karma. On the basis of one's karma, Mahamaya puts the living entities in particular situations. And they respond to those situations based on the swabhava that they have accumulated. So they are put in a particular situation. Like for example, if Mahamaya puts them in a situation, let's say there is a buffet. Okay, there is a buffet. Like, okay, this morning I was there taking prasadam, breakfast. Okay, there were 4 items. Okay, pongal, khichdi, coconut chutney and masala bath. Okay, 4 items are there. Okay. So, I took pongal and chutney and the devotee sitting next to me took khichdi and masala bath. Exact, you know, opposite. So, the choice is there based on one's past experience. When Mahamaya puts us in a particular situation, our response is according to the vasanas that we had accumulated. This is for materialists. The materialists, Mahamaya puts them in situation according to their karma. And the response of the jiva is according to his vasanas. For the sadhakas, okay, for the perfected devotees in the spiritual world and in the material world, Yoga Maya puts them in particular situations under the guidance of Krishna. Okay. And their response to that situation is according to their spiritual vasanas that they have accumulated. Prema. Like, for example, Mother Yashoda, Krishna opened the mouth and there was universal form seen. So, Yoga Maya also covers and shows. First, universal form pratiyeta. It saw the universal form. She saw the universal form. Okay. For a moment she got bewildered. But then again, universal form na pratiyeta. The universal form was removed by the Yoga Maya. Okay. And after that, she considered various reasons and finally said, none of these reasons is true. Krishna is totally dependent on me and I need to protect Krishna. That is the ultimate reality. So her response was according to the prema which was there within her heart. Right? So the role of Yoga Maya and Mahamaya is to put the living entities in particular life situations and the response is according to their qualification, their vasanas. But when it comes to sadhakas in this material world, like all of us who are practicing pure devotional service, the life situation is orchestrated by which Maya? Yoga Maya or Mahamaya? Actually, Mahamaya. Okay. I don't want to take a poll because by then the class will be over. So the life situations of sadhakas are orchestrated by Mahamaya, but under the guidance of Krishna. Not under the guidance of karma. Because Yoga Maya acts only on perfected devotees who are ready to participate in the pastimes of Krishna. Okay. So Mahamaya acts in conditioned souls, whether they are conditioned materialists or conditioned sadhakas. But in conditioned sadhakas, Mahamaya acts under the instruction of Krishna and not according to one's karma. So therefore, the life situations presented for a devotee in the form of suffering, happiness, etc. are not according to karma, but according to Krishna. Okay. Anyways, so now, what about the jivas in Brahma Jyoti then? Okay. Jivas in Brahma Jyoti. Because for action, you need two things. For any action, you need an external trigger and you need an internal disposition to respond to that trigger. Like for example, if I have to do the action of eating, okay? So when I go to the kitchen, there should be an external trigger in the form of one bucket with, you know, pongal, one bucket with chutney and whatever, right? And I need to have an internal disposition of past experience. Oh, I always liked pongal and chutney like that. So then there is an action of taking that pongal in the plate and eating it, right? So for any action, there should be an external trigger and there should be an internal disposition to respond to that trigger. In the material world, the living entity, that external trigger is created by Mahamaya. And they all have material vasanas based on which they respond. In the spiritual world, Yogamaya orchestrates the external situation and the response is according to their particular flavor of prema, which is there in their heart. Okay. So now, the jivas in Brahma Jyoti, they are under which maya? Yogamaya or Mahamaya? Actually, none. They are neither under Yogamaya nor under Mahamaya. There is no use for external trigger because there is no internal vasanas, because all the material vasanas have been purified and no spiritual vasanas have been developed because they are not practicing bhakti. So because there is no internal material vasanas or spiritual vasanas, therefore there is no need for external trigger. It will not generate action. Therefore, the living entities are inactive in Brahma Jyoti. So now one may say, how can the living entity ever be inactive? Because oftentimes we hear, the real nature of the living entity is to be active. Right? How many of you have heard Srila Prabhupada mention this? The living entity can never be inactive. It is always active. That is its nature. Right? So, but if you see, and does anyone remember which verse Srila Prabhupada quotes to substantiate this point? Prabhupada quotes this verse, Nahi kaschit shenamapi jatu tishtat yakarma krit, karyatehi avashak karma sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. Verse number 3.5. Okay? This is the verse that Prabhupada quotes. But if you see what that verse actually indicates, it indicates that conditioned souls cannot remain inactive even for a moment. Why? Karyatehi avashak karma. They will be helplessly pushed to perform actions. By what? Prakriti jair gunaihi. By the gunas of prakriti in the form of vasanas which is there within their heart. That will push them to act. So that verse does not talk about the constitutional nature of the soul to be active. That verse indicates why conditioned souls cannot be inactive because their conditioning will not allow them to be inactive. So, is the constitutional nature of the soul to be always active? Yes. But for that action to happen, so it is the potential, the jiva has the potential to act. Jada vastu does not have potential to act. Jiva has the potential to act. But for the jiva to realize that potential, it needs internal triggers and external triggers. Internal triggers in the form of vasanas, either material or spiritual, and external triggers in the form of Yogamaya and Mahamaya. So for a jiva in Brahma Jyoti, there is neither the internal trigger, no material vasanas and no prema. Therefore, there is no need for external triggers, Mahamaya or Yogamaya. So, they remain inactive there. Okay. So, anyways. So, talking about this whole concept of, you know, bhayam, the fear of samsara for the jiva in this material world is due to dvitiya abhinivesh. Bodily identification, bodily absorption. And that bodily absorption is created by, is due to viparyaya and asmriti. Due to identification with the body and inability to understand that we are not this body, we are the soul. And this is created by maya. And why maya catches the jiva? Ishad apetasya. Because he has turned his face away from Krishna. So, the question is, when the jiva turns away and why? The million dollar jiva fall down question. Right? Why and when? This is the question that naturally comes. Srila Prabhupada's answers to these questions are very confusing at the surface. But it needs some understanding to understand how profound those statements were. Srila Prabhupada said, go back and find out. Why did the jiva come? Go back and find out. Okay. Or, Prabhupada said, focus on going back. Don't try to investigate. If a mosquito bites and you get malaria, which mosquito bit me because of which? Don't try to do that research. Focus on getting cured. Prabhupada said. For a long time, I always felt Prabhupada is just trying to avoid answering this question. Right? How many of you felt like that? Right? So it looked like that, at least for me. I have to be honest. Right? So, but in Jaiva Dharma, in the 15th chapter, there is a very interesting discussion. Very illuminating discussion. The discussion is between the guru and disciple. The disciple's name is Vrajanath. The guru's name is Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaj. There is a conversation. So, I will just take a particular section of that. I am not going to tell the past story, future story and everything. So, Vrajanath asks Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaj, earlier you have explained that the spiritual world as well as the jivas are eternal. You said the jiva is eternal, spiritual world is eternal. But you are also talking about the jivas taking birth and creation of the spiritual world and all that. So if they, so when you say creation of the jiva or creation of the spiritual world, then they cannot be spiritual. There must, then they must not have existed before. So why you are speaking like this? Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaj says, very illuminating answer. Please hear carefully. Every sentence is a loaded sentence. He says, time and space as experienced in the material world is quite different from time and space in the spiritual world. Material time is divided into three sections. Past, present and future. Right? That's all. But in the spiritual world, time is ever present without any division. And this is illustrated in a beautiful pastime in the spiritual world. Gopakumar goes to the spiritual world. Okay, he is in Goloka Vrindavan. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this episode comes. So Gopakumar is observing the pastimes there. Something very interesting he observes. Okay, various pastimes are happening. You know, one day Akrura comes. Okay, to take Krishna away to Mathura. I am cutting the long story short. Okay. Somehow he manages to convince Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And after a lot of struggle and resistance from the gopas and gopis, finally Akrura manages to take Krishna and Balram to Mathura. There Krishna goes, kills Kamsa, kills Kovalaya, Peda, Chanura, Mushtika, everyone. And pacifies the Mathuravasis. And in the meantime, Vrajavasis are in deep distress. They are going to die in separation from Krishna. They are at the verge of death. And Krishna gets the message. So Krishna somehow pacifies the Mathuravasis, comes back, and he spends such wonderful time with the Vrajavasis that the Vrajavasis become so absorbed. Whether the Vrajavasis are experiencing love in the form of union or separation, It is so absorbing that they forget the past and there is no future. Na shochati na kangshati. Because the presence is so absorbing. Right? Like for example, even in the material world, there is a faint experience of this. At least for a short time. When someone is absorbed in sense gratification. Forbidden sense gratification. Let's say. Coming under the urge of that instant gratification, he knows the repercussions are serious. And yes, he has experienced it in the past also. But when he comes under that intense passion, he forgets the past, what happened, and he forgets the future of what is going to happen in future. He becomes so absorbed in the present, but that is only for a short time in the material world. As soon as that urge subsides, there is immediately lamentation because of the thinking of the past and anxiety about the future. Immediately catches up. Even though certain very absorbing things in this material world, you know, bind a person to the present very strongly, but it is just a question of time when his past and future will catch up with him very quickly. But in the spiritual world, it is not like that. In the spiritual world, whether the spiritual Nitya Siddha associates of the Supreme Lord, whether they are experiencing union or separation, it is such an absorbing thing. It's not that there is no past or future. There is no experience of past or future because the present is so absorbing. And this is observed by Gopakumar. As an observer, he is observing. And Gopakumar, so the Vrajavasis become very absorbed. They forget about the past, forget about the future. And guess what? After some time, Akrura comes again. And the same pastime repeats. He comes and somehow convinces Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj to take Krishna and Balram with them. And same kind of drama happens. The gopis and the gopas, they sort of stop. But then he manages to take them. He goes there, kills Kovalayapida, kills Chanura Mushtika, kills Kamsa, pacifies the Mathuravasis. In the meantime, the Vrajavasis are at the verge of death. Krishna gets the message. Krishna rushes, pacifies the Mathuravasis, rushes back to Vraja and gives them such an experience that in their union they become completely absorbed in the present. And guess what? Akrura comes again. And Gopakumar is seeing that the same pastime, you know, same few pastimes are repeating. But because there is no remembrance of the past, no anxiety of the future, because they are so absorbed in the present. So there is no experience of past and future in the spiritual world. That's how all these pastimes remain ever fresh, even though they are repetitions. So there is no experience of past. Similarly, in the pastime of Lord Narasimhadev appearing in the 7th canto, when he tears Hiranyakashipu and he is in that Ugra roop, Brahmaji and the demigod, they request Mother Lakshmi, please go and pacify him. And she says, I have never seen this form before. I don't even know who he is. Abhutapurvam yadrupam, it is mentioned. Never seen before. What do you mean never seen before? In the previous universe where Narasimha Leela happened, the same Leela happened. And now it is happening here. After the next universe, wherever it is going to happen, is millions of times the same pastime has happened. But every single time, Mother Lakshmi says, I have never seen this form before. And she is not faking it. Really, she has never seen that form because of the absorption in the present. There is no remembrance of the past. That's it. So that expression is with genuine emotions. She is genuinely astonished to see that form of Narasimhadev. And she genuinely feels, I don't know who this is. I have never seen this form before. right? So, therefore, he says that in the spiritual world, time is ever present without division of past, present and future. All spiritual activities and happenings of the transcendental realm are perceived in Vartaman, whereas whatever incidents are normally experienced here are rooted in the notions of mundane time and place. So when we discuss spiritual subjects, when we are discussing spiritual subjects, we say things like, later the jiva became entangled with maya. So then immediately we will think, later means, before that later happened, the jiva must not have entangled with maya. So then the question is, why did the jiva get entangled with maya? And when did this happen? These questions naturally come. Right? So, or when we hear the spiritual world was created, which means before being created, it must not have existed. Right? Like that. So, our words are being influenced by the concept of material time. We cannot, actually, because we have not experienced spiritual time where only present is there, there is no experience of past and future. When we actually, when even spiritual subject matters are explained, we try to understand them based on our understanding of material time only. We interpret them within the language of material time and our experience of material time. So, in all discussions about the jiva and transcendence, our thoughts cannot be freed from the concepts of mundane time, which automatically enter our deliberations. We will naturally think in terms of mundane time only. Thus, inevitably we talk and think in terms of past, present and future. However, he says, when you consider the inner meaning of this topic, keep in mind that a person who is solely searching for realization of the pure essence of the absolute truth will perceive and apply the concept of eternal, ever-present time factor in understanding these topics. Now, how are we expected to even apply this? Very difficult. So, he says, the guru tells the disciple, dear young man, you must be extremely cautious while deliberating upon this subject. Which subject? The jiva fall down subject. Simply absorb yourself in the spiritual concepts and reject the unavoidable mundane dross caused by the words. Because it's talking about a transcendental subject. But material sounding words are used to describe. And immediately you will think in terms of your material experience within the realm of material time. For example, he gives an example. Guess which example he gives. Krishna Bulya Sei Jeev Boga Vancha Kare Nikatastha Mayatare Japatiya Dare. That is the verse he says. Oftentimes, the Vaishnavas speak like this. Or the Vaishnava Acharya speak like this. Krishna Bulya Sei Jeev. The Jeeva having forgotten his real identity. The immediate next question is, when did he forget? Why did he forget? The very fact that you are telling forgotten means he must have remembered before. These type of questions come. Okay. But even though the Vaishnavas speak in this way, however, all the Vaishnavas know that the jiva has an eternal nature of which there are two types. One is Nitya Baddha and Nitya Siddha or Nitya Mukta. But the subject is put in this way so that ordinary human intellect can understand something. So he says, why these things are there? What is the meaning of, what is the import when he says Krishna Bulya Sejiv Boga Vanchakare? He says, what he is trying to communicate is that forgetting Krishna is the cause of all inauspiciousness and remembering Krishna is the cause of all auspiciousness. Therefore, never put yourself in a situation where you will have to forget Krishna. That is the message that is being communicated. That is where the acharyas are trying to shine the light. But where we look into forgotten bolana, you know, it says forgot, which means remembered before, he must have remembered it before. Then the question is, why did he forget? When did he forget? These questions come. Okay. So, he does not understand the actual purpose of why it is spoken in that particular way. because it has to be spoken about the inauspiciousness of forgetting Krishna and the auspiciousness of remembering Krishna for that purpose. Like we see the Shaka Chandra Nyaya. Okay. A mother is feeding food to the child. So she wants to show the child what is a moon. So she shows, okay, look that round white object in between the two branches, that is the moon. Okay. What is the purpose? Because the child cannot comprehend anything beyond that. Okay. So therefore you have to communicate in a way that the child can comprehend according to its age and maturity. Right. So now, if the child asks, who inserted that moon between the two branches? This kind of question. Or, the mother is feeding that food and after some time she is moving and the child sees that the moon is in between, he is able to see the moon in between the windows. So then he may ask, what is this? And the child will, mother will say, moon. But the child may ask, what do you mean? But you told me that the white object in between the branches is the moon. Now how did that moon come here? The child cannot understand because of its lack of maturity. But still, the mother has to educate the child according to his level. So she says, okay, you know, the moon is in between the branches. Shaka Chandra Nyaya. But the introspective sage perceives the spiritual truth in the quietness of his chit samadhi or devotional meditation. That is how one can understand. So he says that concerning these topics, you see, this is a very important point, he says. Concerning these topics, there is no room for debating or arguing. Because applying material logic to spiritual subject matters is a futile exercise. This is the problem. And then you know what he says? I am aware that you cannot immediately comprehend the depth of this argument. Which means, as Vrajanath is a sadhaka. So we cannot understand. Okay. But you know what he says? However, as your devotional practice and spiritual attachment increases, your power to discriminate between matter and spirit will be sharpened. So when you actually progress spiritually, then your ability to discriminate between matter and spirit will become sharp. So therefore he says, you must begin the process by sincerely chanting Harinam. So how do you understand the jiva fall down? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, sincerely chant Harinam. What happens by that? Thereby your spiritual identity will be manifest gradually. And concordantly your perception of the spiritual world will take discernible shape. Which means, unless your heart is purified, don't try to understand the subject matter where you are. Because where you are, at that stage it is not understandable. That's what he says. It is like, how can you explain a fifth grade student integral calculus or differential calculus? Dy by dx, d by dx of sin x is cos x. You tell that child. He will say, what are you talking? Only numbers can be divided. Alphabets cannot be divided. That's what he will say. Because that is, so he will try to understand it based on his logic. You know, you tell 4 by 2, 6 by 3, he will understand. D by dx of sin x, he will not understand. Because that is not according to his level. So this is a subject matter whose answer is there. But it is comprehensible only at the stage of self-realization. That's what he is telling. Okay. So, therefore he says, my advice for you is that you do not approach anyone and ask for a decision upon this philosophy. Don't go and approach people and tell, did jiva fall down or not? Did jiva fall down or not? He says, don't ask. He says, instead, chant attentively and Let your internal purification happen and you progress from anartha navritti to nishtha to ruchi to asakti to bhava to prema. And in this way, when you reach the stage of perfection, spiritual perfection, then you will be able to understand. Otherwise, if we try to understand it at our current level, in another essay in the book Bhaktialoka, he writes, why the jiva turned his face away from Krishna? He says, this can be understood only on the realm of spiritual time. Again, the same argument. This cannot be understood on the realm of material time, because a sadhaka is only within the realm of material time, he cannot understand the subject matter. Why? When? No. He cannot understand. How? Why? When? All these things. Okay. So, therefore, and this is natural, right? So, therefore, in order to resolve doubts, sometimes if it is resolvable at our level of spiritual maturity, we may hear the answers and understand, oh, this is how it happens. But sometimes we have to have the maturity to resolve the doubts by understanding that it will be resolved in future. That is needed. Otherwise, we will get tormented by those doubts and it will lead to lack of faith, losing faith. Okay. So, therefore, if you see Srila Prabhupada's answer of go back and find out, it's actually a very scientific answer, because unless we are fit enough to go back, we cannot find out, because at our level this cannot be resolved only. And exactly same thing Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also explaining here. Okay. I will just end this with one thing which I am not supposed to do, but I just took permission from Rudranath Prabhu for this. Okay. So, this whole jiva fall down thing, in the way that our acharyas have explained, is summarized in one particular song in a Hindi movie. Of course, it was not written for that purpose. It was written for some totally mundane purpose. And I don't wish to sing. It says this is a holy seat. So, we should not be sitting here, what to speak of, talking about mundane things. But I apologize to the deities for doing this. There is this beautiful, not beautiful actually, but the words are very much reflecting, you know, what we have discussed. The conclusion, if you have to understand this whole thing. Okay, Prabhuji is telling, okay, go ahead. So the song is, some of you must have heard long, old song. ये क्या हुआ कैसे हुआ कब हुआ क्यों हुआ जब हुआ तब हुआ ओ छोड़ो ये ना सोचो. That is the conclusion. क्या हुआ कैसे हुआ, how did this happen? I mean, just think in terms of, you know, what you know, we have discussed about the jiva fall down, what he has mentioned. Kaise hua? Kab hua? When did this happen actually? Kyun hua? Why did this happen? So then he says, jab hua, tab hua. You know, when it had to happen, it happened. But what he says, o chodo, ye na socho. So what we have to think about your sadhana, chant the harinam properly, get purified internally, and when we become qualified to understand, we will understand. So, interestingly, the name of the movie in which this song comes actually answers this question also. The name of that movie is Amar Prem. So, when we actually reach the stage where our Prem becomes Amar, eternal, actually then we can understand, ye kya hua, kaise hua, kab hua, kyun hua, everything, all answers will be resolved only when we reach that stage of eternal love for Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.